Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, we know the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that our light will shine, the understanding will come into our hearts. Let our eyes see what you want us to see. Let our ears hear what you want us to hear. And let our hearts understand and show us, Lord, thy way that we may know you. Hallelujah. Even closer. Now grant us a closer walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome again and good morning, everyone. And apologies for my dropping out early from the room yesterday. Well, they called me from my job, just like I think my wife explained it. And I thank you all for your prayers. I went back and listened to the full length of the replay, because... Of course, I had spoken for a bit, but I wasn't quite done with my lesson or the teaching. But I had to drop, and I couldn't really get back fully into the room. But I thank God, and I thank all of you that, got in there and gave comments and, shared and reactions and all of that. It was really very good. Really good. I listened to it all. And I thank everybody for many people, Lady Evans, Sister Renita, Sister Julia, Brother Olu, Sister Maggie, Brother Victor, Sister Lola, etc. Not sure if I remember everybody, but a lot of people spoke and it was all very good. And I thank you all. I am going to kind of continue where I had wanted to be yesterday, but many of the speakers already spoke about many of the things. So we thank God for that. This lesson beginning yesterday was titled Understanding the Leading of the Holy Spirit. And as I was bringing it, the idea was to lead up to all of the various ways that the Holy Spirit would lead us. And some people covered that already yesterday. I want to give us some scriptures and different things. And we also thank God that, the people have come back again to listen and to fellowship with us. So that's good. Now, let's lead off today with Romans 8 and 14. Which was also cited yesterday. And that's really where the lesson, should come from, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit of Israel beareth witness with our spirit, we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, the leading of the Lord. And, for us to actually say, that we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we have to understand what that means. And those that are led, we're told, by the Spirit of God, they are indeed the sons of God. So this is really very important. Yesterday we started to break down one of the ways by which the Holy Spirit can lead us, which is, speaking to us. Speaking to us can come in different ways. Didn't get a chance to get into all of it yesterday, but I'll get into some of it today. The very voice of God can be from his word. Psalm 103 verse 20 tells us that, his voice is in his word. Hallelujah. It says, praise ye the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So we know, that means that God's word is in his voice, and God's voice carries his word. So, whichever way you want to look at it. Now, of course, we know that verse always can also mean many things. I've used it to explain how we must, speak the word of God in order for the angels to work on our behalf. You know, so, but here we just want to call out the fact that according to this scripture, we are told, you know, that his voice is in his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So we know that the word of God, you know, carries voice. And I did make one statement yesterday, that God can speak up to us through his written word or through his spoken word. For us to be able to lay claim or be a candidate for hearing the spoken word, we must first obey the written word. The written word is already given to all of us. We have that advantage now. You know, in the early church, they did not even have, at the beginning, this written word. Later on, some of the apostles began to write the epistles and so on and so forth. But they did have the Old Testament scrolls. You know, they had some of the writings of Moses, you know, and, you know, the prophets and everything. But we have, you know, we have a great, great combination today of all of these writings Holy Spirit has given, you know. And we know that the Word of God, you know, is not by private, it's not, you know, not by private interpretation. So I want to dwell on that for a minute, because the Word of God is the most powerful source of hearing his voice, because it's already written in his word. You know, so, and we must first of all look to the word of God, you know, before we begin to look for some other things. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, you know, let's read a few verses here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Peter, by the Holy Spirit, will bring out a very important lesson here. It's important for us to understand this, you know, but let me give you a background of what he was saying. I'm going to start reading it from verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Well, so, you know, Peter can lay claim to it because he was right there with Christ. And he, you know, they went into Mount Transfiguration together. And he saw a lot of things. He heard a lot of things around Christ. He saw it with his own eyes. He said, well, for Christ received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, and this voice came from God when we were with him in the holy mount. So he said that, which is what we just said. But listen to this thing that Peter is going to bring out here. This is so powerful, what Peter is going to bring out. And Peter is telling us that, look, we were there with him. We saw the vision. We heard the voice. We saw him transfigured. We saw Moses. We saw Elias. You can read it in Matthew 17. We saw all of these things. We heard voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son, and so on. I mean, we saw a lot of things. But yet, listen to what he said. But yet, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You know, beyond the visions, beyond all of these things. I mean, we were right there. We saw it. We heard that. We so forth. But he's saying, look, we have also a more sure. It's like a surer word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You know, so this is it. Do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. The word of God will guide you till the end. It's what he's saying here. Knowing this first. Listen to this, men and brethren. ladies and gentlemen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. The scripture is not by private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All the things they wrote about Christ before he came. He's saying, look, yes, we heard the voice to claim, confirmed him as the Christ. But yet, even before the voice came, we had the word. We had the prophecies of many things about the Christ. And Peter is saying here that, look, these things were not written of Christ by private interpretation. But holy men of God, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote those things. Now, well, let me take that a step further and say, if it was written by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, then only the Holy Spirit inspiration can explain it. You cannot get it by private interpretation. Now, there's a lot of private interpretation today to a lot of things. There are some topics, people call them controversial. And, people explain it this way. Some people explain it that way. Some people believe it this way. Other people believe it that way. But this scripture is saying that it's not by private interpretation. It was given and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I know that the only way that you can understand it is also by the Holy Spirit. That's why oftentimes I make reference to this statement that Jesus made in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 67. You've heard me make reference to it multiple times on this platform. And I will talk about it again today because this is important. Praise the Lord. All the things that, all the things that Christ was speaking here, let's read it. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 verse 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But he said, but there are some of you here that believe not. And that's always the case. No matter how well you bring it, some may believe, some may not. Jesus said that himself too. But the important thing I want to bring out here is it is the spirit of God that quickens, that makes the preaching of the word alive. The flesh profits nothing. So if I speak in the flesh, it will profit you nothing. If you hear it in the flesh, it will profit you nothing. So both the speaker and the listener must be in the spirit in order for it to make an impact. So when I speak, I've got to speak it in the spirit. I cannot give private interpretation. When you hear it, you have to hear it in the spirit. If you depend on private interpretation, it will not profit you anything. And also, bear in mind that, private interpretation can be many private interpretations. This also means that, being physically present when you hear a preaching does not give you an advantage over somebody that was not physically present, because it's not being in the flesh, being in person, that means anything. It's a flesh profits nothing. Also means, this scripture is loaded. It means a lot of things. It means you might be listening in the flesh, but be distracted. You might be there in the person, which is in the flesh, but you are distracted. That means you still won't get anything. And we've spoken about eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. So I pray as we go through these lessons that the Lord would always give us a heart, to understand. And it comes by us having eyes. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes that see and your ears that hear. your heart that understand these things. And even Paul said, look, well, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man what God has prepared in store. But the Holy Spirit is revealing them to us, causing our eyes to see, causing our ears to hear, and causing our hearts to understand. So as we go through these lessons, not just this, even when you go back and listen to any replays or future lessons, the same principle is true. We've got to engage in the Spirit. You know, otherwise, yeah, we won't get it. Jesus said, well, there are some here that believe not. Now, so, that being said, the way of the Holy Spirit, God's way, the scripture says, is in the whirlwind. You know, that means people can't even understand, you know, how God works. You know, but he will reveal them unto those whose hearts are, you know, like a baby before him. I mean, they're just babes. I mean, they're ready to believe whatever he's told them, you know. And the parent tells the child something, they just believe it. You know, they don't say, well, you know, I know you're lying and you're not going to do that. They just believe it. And even if you disappoint them and you tell them again next time, they still believe it. You know, so, but God is not like that. God does not disappoint. His word, you know, is always true. In fact, Jesus praying in John 17, he said, look, you know, I've shown them everything. I've declared them to I've declared unto them the truth. He said, thy word is truth. You know, so the word of God is true. Jesus himself would say things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. You know, no one can come unto me. The truth, he would even go on to say something like in John 8, 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall, you know, make you free. And I often say to people, well, it is the truth that you know that can make you free. The truth by itself doesn't make anybody free, you know, but the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And people don't know what that means. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3. You can't understand his way unless he teaches it to you. And yesterday we talked about, you know, the voice of God can come like a still small voice. It can even come thunderously. You can't put God in a box. He can come any way he wants. You know, besides the voice coming to you like that, people talked yesterday about dreams and visions. Yeah. That's a way that the Lord speaks to us too. In fact, the prophecy of Joel in the book of Joel chapter 2, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. He said, well, in the last days, you know, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. So we see, you know, God lay, you know, showing us that even through dreams and visions, you know, and that the Lord said he will speak unto us. And, you know, people gave examples yesterday, and we know that God does speak to us through dreams. We see that God even used, dreams and different things, you know, to guide his people in the scriptures. He even used a dream to Joseph to save the life of the young child Christ. You know, the angel of the Lord, God showed Joseph in a dream, and he said, well, take the young child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again, because there are some that we want to kill the child. And so God using even a dream there, you know, to save the life of the little boy Christ at that time. So dreams are good, visions are good, you know, and in this series, I will talk about some things and how to discern, you know, that it is the Spirit of God. Yesterday, I believe it was spoken about, you know, the, answer of peace, that if he comes and you feel peace about it, then that's an indication that it's from the Lord, you know, and so forth. Now, in the book of Numbers, you know, chapter 12, God can even speak to prophets by dreams, you know, and by vision. I mean, not just us, but, you know, prophet be known by that too. But we also, you know, can be receive dreams and visions. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 and 8 said, you know, now hear my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak, you know, unto him in a dream. So we see that God himself certifies visions and dreams, you know, as a way that the Lord, you know, speaks to us or can speak to someone. You know, in this case, he called a prophet, but we've seen that it's not just a prophet, and Joseph was not a prophet necessarily, but the Lord used a dream and a vision. The Lord came to Solomon in a dream. You know, all that exchange of Solomon, God telling him, asking him, ask me anything, and Solomon asking for wisdom and all of that. It was like a night vision. It was in a dream and so forth. And, you know, and the Lord always told us these things about dreams. Dreams can be useful. Dreams can also come through a multitude of business. One of our brothers talked about that yesterday. You know, every dream and every vision and every voice must be tested. Believe not every spirit, the Bible says, but check the spirit to see whether they be of God. Believe not every voice, but check the voice to see whether they be of God. Believe not every dream as though it came from God, nor every vision as though it came from God. You know, the devil can give dreams and visions. Your mind can also bring dreams and things like that. You know, you have to be able to sift through all of that. You know, I said yesterday briefly how that, you know, the devil taking Jesus up into a great mountain showed him all the vision, all the kingdoms of a world in a moment of time. That's a vision. You know, how do you show anybody everything in a moment of time? And that's a vision. It caused it to pass before him, you know, so. You know, there's no way that you can take someone all around the world in a moment of time unless you are in a vision. Because visions are not subject to time and space. You know, but just because it's a vision doesn't necessarily mean it came from the Lord. And just because it's a voice or a dream, it doesn't necessarily mean it came from the Lord. It can even come from our minds. And coming from your mind is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, people think that, you know, everything that comes to your mind is a bad thing. No. You know, if you got your mind sharpened and trained, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, because the scripture says that we have the mind of Christ. You know, so when we have the mind of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 2 and verse 16, you have the mind of Christ, you know, then the Holy Spirit can even drop things in your mind. So it doesn't mean, because some people just try to reject everything and say, well, it came from my mind. It came from your mind doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It's only bad if it didn't come from the Lord. It can come from the Lord to your mind. You know, some people call it impression. Somebody spoke yesterday, said, well, the way they hear from the Lord is impression. Well, you know, that impression, whether it's in your mind, you know, anyhow, you still have to discern whether it came from the Lord. And God can speak to you through somebody else. He can speak to you through his word. He can speak to you even circumstances. You know, I want to talk about that today. People don't realize that God can use anything that he wants to speak to us. He can make us experience certain things and then bring a lesson out of it. You know, and so on. And it can also, you know, just make things happen to where, especially if you are not well trained in discerning his voice and he's trying to get your attention and you don't get it, the Lord in his mercies can, you know, just make things around you happen to where, you know, you really don't, you know, you can't go any which way. I mean, God spoke to, there was this man called Jonah, ran away from God. You know, because he didn't really want God to save the people of Nineveh. But finally, you know, God brought up this guard or calabash or something, you know, that gave him shade, and then the Lord destroyed it in the same day. And God would use that to tell him something. I mean, God can use many things to tell us things. We've seen even in the case of, you know, which someone also referred to yesterday, we've seen the case of Balaam, the prophet, that even, or the seer, that even the Lord opened the mouth of a donkey to speak to him. So don't put anything past the Lord. You know, the Lord can use anything at all. I mean, the great prophet Moses, God used Jethro, his father-in-law, to speak to him, you know, and Jethro was a priest of Midian. I don't know what kind of priest he was, but, you know, it was nothing close to Moses in terms of, you know, being close to the Lord. And yet he was the one that God used to speak to Moses and, you know, he gave Moses advice. He said, look, I'm going to tell you this, you know, and he said, look, you check it out. You know, if the Lord incline you to do so, then this is good advice. Do it this way. Otherwise, you wear yourself out, kill all these people and kill yourself too, you know. And so God can speak to us through somebody. God can speak to us through circumstances. God can speak to us through dreams. God can speak to us through visions. You know, however, here's what we say to the spirit, to people who, you know, in New Testament believers have the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He's the one that will guide us into all truth. You know, and he'll show us even things to come. He may use other people, but I believe strongly for myself, and I believe this was shared in the room yesterday as well, that look, you know, we are no longer in the days where the voice of God must come to you for the first time through somebody else, through a third party. And what about you? This is why I always say, you know, it was a time that somebody came out and tried to tell me something that God told them to tell me. I said, no, God hasn't told me. And it didn't mean anything to me. Now, if God sent them to confirm what he already told me, then that's cool. But if you come and tell me something about me that God told you that he didn't tell me, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't, you know, even have to yield to it. I don't even have to be afraid of it, whether good or bad. It doesn't mean anything. God told you, he didn't tell me. So, you know, I'm not responsible for what God tells you. I'm only responsible for what God tells me, you know, and so that's a lesson for all of us. An example was given yesterday that, you know, a sister said, well, some people might come and say, "Thus said the Lord, this is, you know, this is the person that you should marry." Well, she was saying that from things that happened in the past. Many years ago when we were in Nigeria, people used to do that kind of nonsense, you know, and I called it nonsense then and I called it nonsense now, you know, don't fall for any of that stuff, you know, and even if it is the person. Even if it's a single person, at some way, a brother comes to you or somebody and tells you, well, the Lord showed me that you are going to be my wife. So what? That's what the Lord showed him. Did the Lord show you? Doesn't mean anything to you until God showed you first. Praise the Lord. You know, so you are responsible for what God shows you. Now, we're all responsible for the Word of God. The Word of God is given to all of us. You know, but, you know, private visions and private things that people claim the Lord told them, that's their claim. You know, it doesn't mean anything to me, you know. So, and God, somebody can come and tell me any crazy thing that God told them to do some crazy stuff. I don't argue with people because I wasn't there. Maybe God told them, maybe God didn't. That's between them and God. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. But if you told me that God told you to tell me something that concerns me, or you stand up in the church and tell us a word that not just for yourself, but affect the church, that one we must judge. I don't need to judge anything that somebody say God told them to do this. People say all kinds of stuff all the time. I don't care. It's between you and God. To his master, he standeth or falleth. You know, if you say God told you to walk naked for 3.5 years, well, fine. If God told you to go and lie on your side for 390 days, fine. If you told me God said, go, do I marry a harlot? Fine. You can do. God has told prophets these things. All these people I mentioned, Isaiah, all these people, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of them, Hosea, God told them to do crazy stuff, you know, and it was, that's their stuff. But they can't come to the church and now preach that as a doctrine, you know, and say, well, God said everybody should walk naked. No, I'm going to put that spirit out if I'm in that church that day. But no, God didn't tell us that. God told you, you know, so you can do it. You know, but so you get the point. You know, God, anybody can claim that God told them anything, and that's between them and God. People say that all the time. Lord told me, Lord told me, Lord. I don't argue with it. Whether the Lord told them or not, that's on them. Now, but if it concerns me, then, you know, I'm going to check it out. Has the Lord actually said that to me before you come and told me? If he didn't tell me, it doesn't mean anything. Now, the Lord could have told me first, and then you come and confirm it, then that's good. you know, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, let the word be confirmed. It's confirmed. It's not the word to be told. First he told you, then you know, can send some witnesses to confirm it. You know, so that's how it works. Now, if you have a dream, though, you know, then, you know, you tell the dream. And, if you have a vision, you know, tell the vision. God may or may not give you the interpretation. And if you have a dream for yourself and you don't have the interpretation, then you need to seek the interpretation. You know, and it's just like, you know, Paul, when he was writing about somebody who was speaking in tongues and don't have the interpretation, then he said, let him pray that he'd be interpreted. He'd be able to interpret. And if he can't interpret, then he should be silent. You know, so the same thing. If God gives you a dream, and people talked yesterday about, you know, getting a dream in a sequence. Yeah, maybe God's showing it to you, but you got to get the understanding. The key thing is, you know, God doesn't show us things in order to hide them from us. What's the point? You know, Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 says, you know, these things God gave to show to his servants things that must come to pass, not to hide from us, to show to us. So what's the point of God telling me something if I'm not supposed to understand it? And what's the point? You know, so the point is for me to understand it. So if he shows it to me and I don't understand it, you know, then I must ask him for the meaning. You know, so, and if you have a dream, you tell the dream. If you have the understanding, you tell the understanding. If you don't, just tell the dream. Maybe somebody else will have the understanding. I mean, you know, that's how it works. We don't need to make up something that we don't understand. You know, so the scriptures are very clear about that. You know, the Jeremiah 23 and 28, the prophet, you know, that hath a dream. You know, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? You know, and there's a lot of chaff these days. Now, you're looking for that reference is Jeremiah 23 and 28. There's a lot of chaff to the wheat these days. People put, you know, embellish the word of God, put all kinds of things that God didn't say. You know, God said, look, say it as it was. If you see the dream, tell the dream. If you see the vision, tell the vision. You know, if God gives you interpretation, then give it, but don't put in private interpretation to it. Now, and if you have your word, the word of the Lord, then tell the word of the Lord. Well, you know, my job is to bring the word of the Lord. You know, let him tell my word faithfully. That's my job. Now, it's on you to check it out. You know, after I've done my part, you check it out. You know, and listen, you know, there may be controversial things. I've taught on this subject of the oneness of the Godhead. Yeah, maybe people that still don't understand that as it is. What I say to people is, look, you ask the Holy Spirit because he's the teacher. You know, Jesus said that himself. The Spirit will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. You know, 1 John 2:27 says the same thing. You know, the anointing which you receive is no lie. But we can't just say, that's the way I've always been taught, you know, from my childhood and on. Well, That may be correct and that may not be correct. You know, Jesus, you know, always challenged the Pharisees for holding traditions and so forth. So we can hold the tradition. Sometimes there are some traditions that are good and there are some traditions that are not correct. So just because that's the way we were taught, that's the way we were brought up, doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that's the thing that God is saying now. And there's even a lot of things that God changed. Jesus changed when he came. He said, you have heard said of old time that you do it like this, say, but now I say it to you this way. So that's the tradition. You've been taught this way. These have been your religious beliefs, but now I bring it to you this way. And Jesus says that, you know, so you got to check it out. But here's what I would say to you. If whether you agree or disagree, that should never break fellowship. Praise the Lord. I remember somebody asked me that one time when we were in house fellowship. And so I said, no. I said, in my mind, that doesn't break fellowship. I keep fellowship with anybody, whether they agree with me or not. You know, that's okay. I mean, people may have a difference of views or difference of opinions. But what I do tell people is this. You ask the Holy Spirit. And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, you hold on to that. Never mind what Pastor Yado said. You check it out from the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit says, if you can ask the Holy Spirit genuinely, don't just say, that's the way I was taught. No. Ask the Holy Spirit and he will tell you. And what the Holy Spirit tells you, that you hold on to. That's what you are responsible for. Not what somebody says or didn't say, but what the Holy Spirit said. It's that word that's going to judge us on the last day. Jesus said that. Don't think I'm going to judge anybody, but this word. So what the Holy Spirit tells you is what you must stay with. But then again, when you hear anything, you know, we are told in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, look, anything that you hear, you need to check it out. You need to prove all things, you know, and hold fast to that which is good, you know. Whether it is good, you hold fast to it. If it is not good, then you drop it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. That's always been my principle in all things. You prove all things. And how do you prove it? You check it out from the Word of God. Now, here's something I will tell us, though. That, look, when you see two scriptures from the Bible that apparently look like they may be contradictory, first of all, you must go in with the assumption that they are not contradictory. Because the Word of God cannot contradict itself. Now, you see, this is where people falter. You know, people that don't know how to, you know, unpack scripture. You know, yeah, but the compacting scripture is something that came from the gift of teaching for many years. You know, and but you know, it's not something that just one day I jump up and say something. But I tell you what, still, doesn't matter. You need to check it out. But you have to go in with the assumption, you know, the premise. It's always a premise when I read the scripture that every word of God is pure. That's a premise. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's a premise. You know, so inspiration of the Holy Spirit cannot say one thing, and inspiration of the Holy Spirit say another thing, you know, and then they contradict each other. So you have to go in always with the assumption that the Word of God is pure. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells you that all scripture, he didn't even say, you know, all scriptures as in plural, you know, put it together as one lump, you know, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, you know, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that you can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if I read, for instance, Matthew, let me just read this one. Let me just throw this one out. If I read Matthew 28 and 19, right, where it says, this is something that, you know, people struggle with. And this is actually in the scripture. It's accurate. It's in the scripture. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, even some people that teach the oneness of the Godhead, they don't know how to explain these things and they stumble over it because they try to say what God's word didn't say. It's right here in the scriptures, you know. So Matthew 28 and 19, says this clearly, you know, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is in the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with it. It's right there in the scripture. Don't tell me that it's not in the scripture. It is in the scripture. You know, now, that's in the scripture. So if somebody say that's the way they're going to baptize, well, God bless them because it is in the scripture. So, and, you know, nothing wrong with that. But you have to then look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then see, remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can't, you know, you can't just take one scripture and run with it, you know, and then when there are a million other scriptures that appear to be different, you have to bring them all together. Acts chapter 3, you know, Peter speaking, Acts chapter 2 rather, verse 36 to 38, said, look, let the house of Israel, all of you know assuredly that this same Christ whom you have crucified this Jesus whom you crucified is the very Christ. And he told them many things. Then when they heard these things, Bible say they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, look, well, you know, what shall we do? And Peter, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave them what they must do. You know, he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Now, this Peter was there when Christ told them what he told them before. And the Holy Spirit came, you know, and put, you know, cloven tongues of fire, and they're speaking under the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says this, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to take these two scriptures, Matthew 28 and 19, and Acts chapter 2 and 38, and realize that they say exactly the same thing. They cannot be contradictory. Now, if you go in with the mind that one is right and one is wrong, then you already missed the mark. Because every scripture, all scripture is given by interpretation and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So you've got to go in with the assumption that they are saying the same thing. Can't be different. You know, then you read all the places where they actually baptized. Now, God didn't send me to baptize. So I don't, you know, I'm not here to baptize anybody. Baptize any way you want. That's between you and God. But mine is to speak the word of God faithfully. You know, however, when there are questions and there was an issue raised or referred to or comment made yesterday, I heard it. So that's why I just dropped this. You know, that, you know, I wasn't in the room, but I heard in the replay. You know, so when you go in with the assumption that there are, every scripture can't be different, they can't be contrary, then you have to try to find what it's really saying. Now, if Matthew 28, 19 and Acts 2, 38 are saying the same thing, and they must be saying the same thing. Otherwise, if one or the other is wrong, we might as well throw the whole Bible away. You know, if Matthew, those people that say, well, you know, Matthew 28, 19 doesn't mean anything. It does mean anything because Jesus said it and it's in the Bible. And those people that say Acts 2, 38 doesn't mean, it does mean something and it's in the Bible. Now, you, one or two of them cannot be contrary to each other. They must be saying exactly the same thing. Now, if that's the case, then it means the scripture that says baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit is exactly the same thing that means baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You know, well, maybe it's simple because the Lord opened my eyes to see. It may not be simple if he doesn't open your eyes. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. And if that's the case, then it means you take those two sentences, put them on top of each other, equate them together. It means the name of Jesus Christ is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's all it means. But those two sentences must be saying exactly the same thing. They can't be different. You know. So, you go in with that assumption, then it begins to be clear. And then, the apostles in the early church, they went with that assumption everywhere. In every single, and I may come back later on and do a room. I have about 50 different scriptures. In fact, I wrote it down yesterday. You know, after doing the replay, I said, man, I have thought this thing over and over. And I went and wrote down about 50 different scriptures and I numbered them. you know, that I can show you all the various places in the Bible, in this Bible, where, you know, we show the oneness of the Godhead, and we show how people baptize, we also show how Jesus showed that he and the Father are one, and all of these things. And yet, I wrote down about five different places where there are questionable or quote unquote, you know, what people call, you know, things that, you know, people debate over and so forth, you know, controversial. That's what I'm looking for. But there's nothing controversial about the scriptures. You just have to look for the interpretation somewhere else, you know. So someday I will give you a catalog, or maybe I'll post it on WhatsApp or something. I don't know how I will do it, but I'll give you all these scriptures are in the Bible, and it's left to you to go and check it out. You can't take one scripture. You got to take all of them. You know, if you just take one scripture, then you miss the point. You got to take every scripture, and you must not shy away. And this is to those people who even believe in the oneness of the Godhead, but they don't know how to explain it. You know, some of us don't know how to explain it, and you shy away from the difficult scriptures. I don't shy away from any difficult scripture. If a scripture appears to be saying something different than the way that I understand it, I assume that it is not different. Then I have to look for the interpretation. It's that simple. I make no assumption in my mind at all that any scripture is wrong or is different. The assumption is it's all the same, you know, and that's the safest way to be. And then I try to figure it out. The Holy Spirit helping me, I figure it out some other ways, you know, so, you know, but whether you believe this way or I believe that way, that should never, you know, break fellowship. Praise the Lord, you know, because look, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And some people that are puffed up with knowledge, but love is what edifies. You know, you can know all these things, but look, even to those that believe in the oneness of the Godhead, James 2:19 says, well, thou believest in one God, well, thou doest well. It's a good thing. There are devils also believe and trembles. So believing, you know, that's not a big deal. The devil believes in one God and he trembles. You know, we also believe in one God and we should tremble. And there's only one God, ladies and gentlemen. There are no three gods. If anybody believes that there is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, then they do well. But that's exactly how the scripture teaches it. It's only one God. It's not three gods. Jesus is not a God different from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. It's all the same. You know, so that's the mystery that people can't understand, because they're trying to understand it with human mind. You can't do it. You know. And finally, one day when Jesus said in John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one, then they took up stones to kill him, because you cannot be one with God. That's what they said. So they took, that's one of the reasons why they try to kill Jesus all the time. You know, say, so you being a man. And Jesus said to them, why are you trying to kill me? I've shown you many good works. And they said, for the good works you showed us, we don't try to kill you. But for you being a man, try to make yourself God. We kill you for that. You know, because they knew that, look, you cannot. And Jesus was saying them, said, look, your father Abraham, which you claim to be your father, he rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. And he said, you? You are in your 30s. You're not even 50 years old. How in the world could you possibly have seen Abraham? And then he dropped another bombshell. This is a bombshell of bombshells in John 8:58 and so forth. I was telling it. You know, he said, look, you know, your father, the Abraham, because they were always saying, well, we are children of Abraham, we are this and that. I said, fine. You know, the works of Abraham, you are not doing. You know, if you say you are children of Abraham, you are trying to kill me. This is not the works of Abraham. You know, and he told them. And then they said, look. So when he finally told them this, he told them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was. And he dropped a bombshell. Because you don't say, I am. You know, unless you're God, you know, and he dropped it. And they said, my goodness, at that point, you know, That's it. They're going to kill him for that one for sure. And they took up stones and cast him out and everything, and they're going to kill him. But Jesus, you know, he just dropped it like that and moved on, you know. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's no way else to understand it. The Lord, he is God. And there is only one God and Father of us all. And I will, you know, for the sake, there are several people in this room, not just one person. Some people have reached out to me, back channel and so forth, ask questions. So I know that people are still struggling with it. But look, this is not my main topic in this room. I say it from time to time. We've been teaching this room for, I mean, how many days since October 1, 2022, when we started? You know, but maybe I've taught this topic three or so times, you know, once in a while I come back to it. It's not, that's not my main topic. And I don't even teach too much on the water baptism. But there is a message that needs to be understood. It's called the revelation of the Godhead. It needs to be understood. And how that plays into this confusing water baptism thing. I don't teach it all the time, but it needs to be understood. You know, but listen to this. If you believe that there is one God, you do well. If you believe that there is one God who is the Father of us all, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, look, there are many that be in this world, there are many that are be called, you know, lords and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. You know, there's many lords, many so-called gods, even small g. He said, look, there are many of them, but for us there is but one God. Hallelujah. So, and he is the Father of whom are all things, and there is one Lord Jesus Christ. That's the correct way to believe it. Don't say there is no Father and there is no Son. There is Father and there is Son. But Jesus said it himself, he that, you know, denied the Father or the Son does have not the Father nor the Son. But whoso acknowledges the Father has the Son also. And likewise, you cannot say that there is no Father or there is no Son. There is Father and there is Son. God in his wisdom chose that before the world began. You cannot understand it in your natural mind. The Lamb was there with the Lord before the world began. And God chose that in him should all fullness dwell. You can read that in Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 to 19. By him, God chose to create all things. And Christ will always be there. And one day I will deal with some of these other scriptures that are so difficult. You know, like Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. Like, you know, Matthew chapter 3, you know, Jesus being baptized, the heavens opened up, the voice came, the dove was there, and all these things, you know. Yeah, all in the scriptures. There's no denying it. But what does it all mean? You have to recognize it's all the same thing. When his name, Gabriel came to Mary and said, you'll be, have a child. And she said, no, well, how can I have a child? And the angel said, well, you have a child of the Holy Ghost. And you know, and then the moment she believed it, she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The moment she believed that word, she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Because she went and saw her cousin, and right there, you know, she was already pregnant. But she believed that word. Well, if she was found to be pregnant of the Holy Spirit, if the angel said to her that the power of the Most High will overshadow you and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be found of child of the Holy Spirit, you know, basically, you can, in human terms, I can say it to you this way. The father of that pregnancy was the Holy Spirit. I can say it to you that way, in human terms. You know, because the Holy Spirit is who made Mary to be pregnant. And that's the father of the pregnancy. Now, you know, so the Holy Spirit is the father of Jesus. God is the father of Jesus. If those two are different, then he has two fathers. You know, so, you know, that's why, you know, many of these scriptures, you know, they are like that. And people get confused over it. But you have to also understand that, you know, it's a mystery. The mystery is not that there are three gods. The mystery is that there is one God that manifests himself in three different ways, or even many ways he chooses to do. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. Millions of people over the earth have the Holy Spirit. How many Holy Spirits are there? So you cannot number God as you number things in the human realm. God is a spirit. Can't number him. He may choose to appear in seven different ways or a million different ways. He's still the Spirit of God. God is not a genie. Holy Spirit is not a genie, ladies and gentlemen, who, you know, comes out of the bottle and the bottle then is empty. And then someday he goes back in the bottle. That's a genie. That's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit fills the universe. You can't think of him like that. He is a very God. He is Elohim. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Ladies and gentlemen, this series is about the Holy Spirit. I need to let you know that the Holy Spirit is the very eternal God. It's not two different, you know, it's not God is here and the Holy Spirit is there. That Spirit is the very God. That's who he is. Because there's only one God in this universe. In fact, this universe is not big enough for two gods. Two real gods. I mean, there's hundreds of gods that people serve. But the real God, capital G, Elohim, the eternal light that created the universe, the self-existent one, there's only one. And he's a spirit. Jesus said it himself. John 4:24. You know, that's why when he chose to redeem man, the spirit cannot die like that. And if God were to die, then where will the universe be? He's the source of everything. This whole universe is inside his belly, ladies and gentlemen. The whole universe is inside God's belly. That's right. So if God were to die, who's going to hold the universe? The Bible says we're kept and held. All things are held by the word of his power. He's all holding. So he already knew all these things before the world began. It was a man that sinned and it's a man that will die. Jesus said, a body hast thou prepared for me. And the word was made flesh in John 1:14 and dwelt among us. The word was God from the beginning. But God already planned it that way. And so, but God also chose that in Christ should all fullness dwell. And according to Colossians 2:9 also, he said the fullness of the Godhead was upon him bodily. That's it. And so he will always be there. There will always be the Father who is the Spirit of God, the very Spirit. He's not different. The Holy Spirit is not number three when God is number one and Jesus number two. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. One Lord. You know, and I have over 30 scriptures in different places in the Bible where God referred to himself as the Holy One of Israel. Never the Holy Three. God never referred to himself as three. It's people that say that. Jesus said, Hear, O Israel, your thy God is one Lord. That's what it. Not God is one. God is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Holy Spirit is Lord. That makes three Lords. The Lord thy God is one Lord. Hallelujah. And is one God, the Father of us all. And throughout all the epistles, in every single epistle, whether it was Paul, whether it was Peter, how they would write it is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And those two, you can't deny the Father or deny the Son and then say, oh, I'm preaching oneness. You know, the oneness is in the Spirit. That's right. The thing that connects, well, I say thing loosely, but what connects God, the Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Spirit, the same Spirit. That's why Jesus could say to John on the Isle of Patmos, I am Alpha and Omega. Jesus didn't call himself number two. He said, I'm number one. Alpha means number one. Now, if Jesus is number two, then he cannot say I'm Alpha. And if he's, you know, Holy Spirit is number three, which will be the last, Jesus cannot say the last. But he said, I am Alpha and Omega. That's it. I'm the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no savior. God said that in Isaiah But we know that Jesus is the Savior. There's no other Savior. It's God. Jesus. It's all the same. The mystery is God came in human flesh. That's it. It's just that simple. And when Jesus died on the cross and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, well, if that was God that died in the spirit, then where would the world be? God already knew he can't die in the spirit. So he had to put the spirit into a human flesh that can die. And the human flesh is the one that has to die because the human flesh is the one that sinned. So, you know, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. But let me tell you this also. Don't get hung up on those things. You know, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He say, look, if any man seem to be contrary, we have no such custom. Even if there's anything, the Holy Spirit will reveal even that to you. And so you must go to the Holy Spirit. You know, and I love everyone. I love try to help people. And, you know, that's why I take my time explaining these things. But listen, I got to move on. I can't explain this thing over and over and over and over and over again. You know, so you ask the Holy Spirit and, you know, let him be your teacher. Whatever he tells you, that do. That's it. You know, so, you know, don't, you know, just take my word for it. Search the scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit tell it to you, you know, and all those difficult, seemingly difficult scriptures, they are all by revelation. In fact, in John chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and after telling all these things about being born again, Nicodemus was still confused. Jesus said, look, if I have told you earthly things and you don't believe, what are you going to do if I tell you a heavenly thing? You can read it in John chapter 3, verse 12. And then in the next verse, he dropped a heavenly thing. And the man was completely confused. He said, look, I've told you earthly things you don't believe. Well, like, what if I tell you a heavenly thing? What are you going to do? And here's one heavenly thing. You chew on that for a minute. No man has seen God at any time. He told him. He said, look, no man has seen God at any time, you know, and if he had stopped there, we wouldn't know the heavenly thing. But here's what's heavenly about what he's going to see. You know, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And here's Jesus standing, talking to Nicodemus right here and claiming that the Son of Man is in heaven right there. Well, I've told you earthly things you don't believe. Well, here's one heavenly thing. See if you can believe that. You know, so Jesus was here on earth, and at the same time, he was in heaven. But that's the Holy Spirit. You can't do it any other way. You know, so when you hear the voice from heaven, when you see Jesus coming out of the water, and you see Holy Spirit as a dove depending on him, that doesn't mean that there's three gods. It just means that God is bringing together everything in Christ, how God has represented himself as the Father, which Jesus always trying to teach us, you know, and Jesus, the redemption, the Holy Spirit, that will be with us later. Same God, you know, manifests himself as Father before when Christ came. Now we know him as the Son of God, and he's trying to give us a relation. We are also sons of God, you know. That's right. And Jesus even said, look, the scripture called you gods, little gods, because the word of God came to you. What about the man who came from God himself? We are little gods too. And if we know how to understand him, we become like the Christ. That's God's intention from the beginning. Create a generation of mankind. In his mind was really God kind. Let them be, you know, image and likeness. Who was he talking to? You know, he wasn't talking to anybody other than the Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 will tell you that. Christ is the only being, if you want to call it that, that was the express image of the Father. The likeness of him, the express image of him. And so when he said, let us make man our image, you say, why was he talking to Christ? Because the Lamb was slain before the world began. Before the God created anything, the Lamb was already there with him. Christ was already there. In the beginning was the Word. God knew all these things. So, ladies and gentlemen, enough said on that. But the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit is to teach us all these things and bring these things to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit will show you the scriptures if you go to him. The Holy Spirit can come to you by voice. Holy Spirit can come to you by the written word, or let me put it in the other, in a correct order. First, the written word, before you can hear, you know, the spoken word. Yeah. If you don't believe the written word, no vision is going to help you. Abraham told that to the rich man, in the case of rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he said, look, this is a place of torment. Let me go and tell my brothers so that they don't come end up here. Abraham said, they have the scrolls and they did not believe. They have Moses and the prophets. They will not believe even if someone came from the dead. You know, so if you don't subscribe to the word of God, the written word of God, no vision or dream or, you know, out of body experience is going to help you. The word of God is already there. You know, the people that only believe the only people that believe those things are people who already believe the Lord. And those things will encourage them. But, you know, no dream or stuff like that is going to help an unbeliever. They don't believe the word of God. You know, that's why when we want to get people saved, we need to preach the word. The word. Hallelujah. It's what would save them. But they must repent too. You got to preach repentance. If we don't preach repentance, then today in the church, because people don't preach repentance, we have a bunch of people in the church that are not regenerated. People just say, well, give your life to Christ and be saved. What does that mean? You must repent. That's what Jesus, you know, said. You know, he told them, you know, preach the gospel, repent and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. People must repent and believe the gospel. Peter said the same thing on the day of Pentecost. When he said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. You must repent. If you don't repent, you can't be saved. You know, so people don't repent these days. They come up here. Hey, come up here and shake my hand. Put your name in the church register and so forth. And we're all good. But they did not repent. When they go out of there, they'll be still doing that same thing that they were doing before. But they did not repent. That's a message. That's a gospel of convenience. We must repent. You know, you can't do it any other way, you know. So we must preach a message of repentance. That's how we get clean this stuff, this mess that's in the household of God. Because everybody come in there, you know, and they just say, accept. And let me even tell you this. I'll drop this before I close. The message that people are even preaching today is not even in the scriptures. If they say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's good. But what is the message the church is preaching today? The message we are preaching today is accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you'll be saved. That's what the church is preaching. And that word accept is so loose. You know, it's not even in the scriptures. Believe requires that you repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. You got to repent. Then you believe the gospel. That's when you can be saved. But if you tell people to just accept, oh, just accept the Lord Jesus and everything's cool. Well, they say, yeah, I accept. Jesus did this and this. But they don't repent and they will not be born again. Because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things must pass away. Repentance means old things are gone. So you're now a new person. If you don't do that, well, you just carry on. There's a lot of religious people carry on. Church is filled with a lot of stuff. So the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. All these things that Christ said, you know, and we must listen to the Holy Spirit. Actually, I'll say this to you too as well. The Holy Spirit in the church, the Holy Spirit is the governor in the kingdom. He's the one that puts everything in order. That's why Jesus said when he comes, he'll put everything in order. He'll testify of me. He'll teach you what to come. He'll show you all these things. I mean, Jesus was just introducing the Holy Spirit that's coming. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will refer back to Christ. That's what Jesus said. You testify of me. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19 and 10. You know, so the self same spirit working together. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many gods will you see when you get to heaven? One God and Father of us all. How many Lord Jesus Christ will you see? One Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's called King of Kings in Revelation 19. It's called Lord of Lords. Yeah. But the Father has chosen that in him will all fullness dwell. That's it. That's how he relates to man. Put someone like man right in our midst that has the fullness of the Spirit of God, and we can become like him. If Jesus came as a spirit, well, you know, then we couldn't do, you know, how can we be? Because we were made of, that's why we did the treasure in earthen vessels. And devil would say to the Lord, I mean, they will never do it. And, you know, they will never do it. They will never be like you. They will never. And God said, well, you will see about that. And he said, have you seen my righteous branch, the Christ? He said, yeah, but, you know, that was the Christ. But I'll show you. Let me put him on the cross. I put him in that grave. And then we'll see what his disciples will do. The disciples, they won't believe him when I put him in that grave. You know, the devil has a loud mouth like that. He will challenge everything that God is doing. And God said, well, I'll tell you what. You do whatever you can. But he's coming out of that grave in 3 days. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Jesus said it himself. Destroy this temple and I. You don't say that unless you are God Almighty. Destroy this temple and I will raise it again. And then the scripture says that God raised him from the dead. You know, so people are confused about that. Same God. Same spirit. You know, and so forth. You know, so he come out of that grave, boy, and he showed the devil that a man, you know, can be accepted of God like that. And the devil had to keep quiet. Praise God. And then the Lord said, look, you only seen one, you know, in John chapter 12, verse 24. So you've only seen one. I said, but there are many coming. Because if I did not die, I would be alone. The seed, unless it dies, falls into the ground and dies, abides alone. But when I die, I'm going to bring forth many sons unto glory. Glory to God. And so when he did, here comes everybody. Here come you and me and all the people that went before us and all the people that are coming before us, I mean after us, because of what Christ did for us. Glory to God. And then he shed forth the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. And now he gives you visions, he gives you dreams, he gives you the word, he gives you all of these ways by which you can know him. So some things also people call impression. It's all there. Many ways that God will speak to us. But then I will cover also the subject of discerning of spirits. I can't cover that today because of time, but I will cover it in subsequent lesson, maybe tomorrow. You know, I mean, how do you then discern when you are in the spirit realm, all these things? Because some people say, how do I know it's the voice of God? Well, yesterday we talked about training. At first, you may not know his voice at all. You know, like Samuel, like Gideon, and all these people. And then eventually when you know it, well, how do you know that it's God? How do you know it's not your mind? Some people still ask that question till today. Even people who have received the Holy Ghost for many long years. They still say, well, how do I know it's not my mind? And I've already said today, even if it is your mind, if your mind is aligned with the mind of Christ, it might be the Holy Spirit dropping it in your mind. That's what people call impression. You know, so, but how do you know whether it is of God? That's the real thing. You know, does he speak of the Christ? Does he draw attention to the Christ or does he draw attention to something else? And does he carry peace? Jesus said, look, you know, in the book of John, you know, chapter 14, and he begins to say this, you know, in verse 27, he said, look, let not your heart be troubled. He He said, I leave you peace, not as the world giveth, but I give it to you. You know, so it was said also in the room yesterday that the things of God will bring you an answer of peace. You know, that's a peace that will come from it. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 allude to the same thing. He said, look, when you are even trying to ask things of God, you know, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what was the next thing he says? And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that peace will come there. Peace will attend that thing when it's from God. You know, it's troubled, you know, and so forth. You know, that particular verse is not talking about God will give you, you know, what you ask. We know that. But it's saying that there's a peace that will come with it. When that peace comes there, you know it's of God. And if it's not according to the word, then how do we know it's of God? Well, it has to be by the word. Listen, if God cannot fault you if you do what the word says. Can't fault you. But this word is what's going to judge us. But the word is by interpretation of the spirit, not the letter. The letter killeth. It's the spirit that gives life. The people had the letter of the law. And they said, well, Moses said, you cannot do these things on the Sabbath day. You know, and they said, look, there are 6 days, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. That was the letter of the law. And Jesus said, well, even when it is Sabbath day, and that's the spirit of the law, if your cattle falls into the, or donkey or cow or anything falls into the ditch, are you going to leave him there all day until the next day just because it's Sabbath? No, you're going to go there and get him out of there. Now, if you do that for cattle, you do that for your donkey, you know, then what about these people who are suffering? Should they not be healed on Sabbath day? And Jesus said, look, my father walketh, and so I walk. He said, my father walketh hitherto, and I walk. That means my father never took a break. You know, yeah, he's still walking. And so I'm walking too, whether it's Sabbath day or not. And that's what Jesus was telling them. And look, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And Jesus said, have you not read what David did when the letter told him you can't do that? You know, so, but David did it and God didn't strike him down either. But David understood, you know, he understood the things of God. Hallelujah. And the mercy of God goes to whomsoever God will give mercy. Grace of God goes to whomsoever God will give grace and compassion. And so forth. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. May the Lord show us mercy on here today. May we have revelation. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, come and do part 3 of this leading. I mean, understanding the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, I went to a lot of digression because I wasn't in the room yesterday and certain things were said and I wanted to give my opinion. You know, educated, inspired opinion nonetheless. You know, Paul said things like this. Look, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Well, you know. I just leave it like that. But you check it out. Whether I claim that I speak by the Spirit or not, it's left to you to check it out. You know, and then you do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. But we'll come back and see, you know, how to actually discern, you know, and you can do this. You can learn this discerning. You don't even have to have the gift of discerning of spirit. There's a gift of discerning of spirit that people don't learn. It's just there. But you can learn how to discern by having your senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. You know, but there are some people that have discerning of spirits. They don't need to learn anything. They just know it. It's a gift. They can just tell what spirit is operating. And there are different ways that God reveals that to them. You know, but that's those that have that gift. Everybody else that doesn't have that gift can still learn it by having their senses exercised to discern, you know, good and evil. We're going to talk about that, exercising your senses tomorrow to discern whether the voices you are hearing are from God or not. You know, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Strong meat belong to them that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. So by practicing, you can learn how to actually discern things. You know, you don't always have to have the gift of discernment. Some people have it, some don't. But you can learn it. I'm going to teach it tomorrow. How to learn it. How to discern between good and evil. How to discern, between the voices that you are hearing, whether they be of God or not. Hallelujah. And there are many voices on this app that is called Clubhouse. It's a wonderful app, nonetheless. But there are many, many voices. And not every voice, scripture says all these voices, you know, they have some significance. There's no voice without signification. But not every voice carries the word of God. You know, but you have to discern it. It's your role to discern. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to leave it there. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, I will cover the rest of how I was going to cover that today, but I had to deal with some of these digressing subjects. But I will cover the rest of how God speaks to us and how we can discern that it is God and so forth. You know, and at the end of these lessons, here are some things that you'll be able to do. One, you will know how God is leading you as an individual. And when the devil tries to impersonate that method, because the devil, he will do it too. We'll talk about that tomorrow. You will know whether it is the Lord or the devil, or even your own mind. You know, and so we'll talk about that. And then after we've done all of that and we know all of that, at the end of this lesson, we should have also learned how to obey. That's right. How to obey that leading of the Holy Spirit. Because what good is it when he's trying to lead us and we're not obeying? I'll leave you with this Psalm 32 verses 8 and 9. You know, to wrap up that last statement that I just made. Here's what the Lord said about the leading. He said, look, I will instruct you in the way that you will go. That's Psalm 32 and verse 8. You know, and I will also guide you with my eye. But it comes behind that in verse 9 and say, but be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. You got to put bit and bridle and jerk them around before they can do the thing. You look, when the Lord is leading us, don't be obstinate. Don't be stubborn. You know, be teachable. Easy to be instructed. Praise the Lord. So that's the leading of His Spirit. That's where He's going to get us to. And you can also read James chapter 3. You know, and verse 17, telling you about the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, you know, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wisdom from the above, easy to be entreated, means it's teachable. And correctable, praise the Lord, can be entreated, not obstinate, you know, in their ways. I will pray now and we yield. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yet another time of sharing the word of God. Now, as we pray every morning, the entrance of the God's word brings light and understanding. I pray that that light will continue to shine. Say, light is sown for the righteous. You know, and the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Every time we hear the word of God, may it shine brighter for us in our hearts until the perfect day, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.